Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast, your audio source for all things Michigan football, basketball, and recruiting. I'm your host, Zach Shaw. Steve Lorenz is here with me. This is a preview episode for Michigan's final home game of the season, taking on Illinois. Interesting test, in my personal opinion. We'll talk about the keys for both Michigan's offense and Michigan's defense. But, you know, Steve, you and I were talking right before the show. Probably the best defense Michigan has faced all season. And you know, I'm not quite as sold on Illinois' offense, but certainly not a slouch. I mean, this is, in some ways, this is almost what you want if you're trying to, like, kind of get out of maybe – gets you out of autopilot. I think that was a phrase I used before we hit record. You know, can't just do the exact same thing that you've done the entire time. So we'll talk about some of the keys on both sides of the ball. Let's start with Michigan's offense. Michigan's offense is an interesting place because I think the passing game is in a little bit of a slump statistically over the last 3 weeks. The run game is obviously working extremely well, but you almost, you know, you saw last season, they limited Hassan Haskins' carry load against Maryland before the Ohio State game. You don't play not to get hurt, but you also don't want your running backs to be sore heading into the game week. So there's a tricky balance there. Plus, Illinois top six in pretty much every run defense category. They have some serious, I mean, guys who will play in the NFL up front in run support. Pretty good across the board. Not just strong for Illinois, but strong for any team in the country. They've got some real stars on defense, guys that NFL scouts are going to be looking at. So what's the biggest key for you for Michigan's offense on Saturday that would either be an early indication that they're going to win or a good game plan in your mind heading into the matchup?
What was your reaction to Harbaugh's comment about the critics? Did you see that one?
Yeah.
Passing game. I thought that was kind of interesting.
He's had to defend this for 8 years though.
True. I think we went about it the right way last week, and not so much in saying we don't care if they're gonna win running the football. We know that at this point, but when they do pass, you want to see the passing game be more effective than it has been. And a lot of people harped on the deep pass. I mentioned the intermediate passing game has kind of gone away the last couple of weeks as well. I guess that's where I'm just going to kind of go back on that and say that that's something I think we want to see more of on Saturday, a successful intermediate passing game, not JJ McCarthy needs to throw for 350 yards, because if he does, that means Ohio State has more that they have to worry about in Columbus. It's really just more about what even the play action. I mean, Michigan, do they go play action because their play action's been outrageously successful, or do they work more? Do they do more of the straight shotgun or he even had a couple dropbacks under center, I want to say, the last few weeks. But the results there have been a little more skittish, it looks like. So for me, it's not about how many yards they throw for. It's just more about when they do throw the ball, you know, can they move the chains? Can they get the receivers a little bit more involved, you know, type thing? Because I know Illinois's got, well, I believe they're the second ranked defense statistics. That's in total yardage. It doesn't mean they're the second best defense in the country, but safe to say they're probably the best defense Michigan's faced so far this season. Still think they're going to have some success running the football on them. So it really just comes down to just seeing some progression in the passing game. Just like I said, I don't believe that means you have to see a certain statistic. Just look crisp in both facets, because that is something that they're going to have to do in Columbus. I do think they'll be able to run the ball in Ohio State as well, but that won't necessarily be enough against a team of that talent level. I think you're going to have to do some of both. And stay healthy. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing.
Right. Not just stay. I mean, you can't predict injuries, but, you know, can you, if Michigan gets a lead, this might be a game where you sacrifice covering the spread or passing the eye test or whatever to get starters out of the game in some key spots. I agree with the general premise that Michigan is well within its rights and abilities to be a run-first offense. I'm kind of with you. When the efficiency drops off, that's where you start to ask questions. I don't think it matters if J.J. McCarthy throws for 150 yards or 300 yards. But Steve, just to share some of the stats and maybe the drop-off, in the first six games of the season before Michigan's bye week, the Wolverines were completing 73.7% of passes, averaging 8.7 yards per attempt, passer efficiency rating of 163.2. In three games since then, that completion percentage has dropped to 52.5, so more than 20% drop. They've averaged 6.4 yards per attempt, more than 2 yards per attempt of a drop. And then the passer efficiency rating has dropped to 128.3. So that's, 35 points dropping? That's where you start to say, if you're Michigan and you're thinking, again, make it to the Rose Bowl, if that's the goal, they're already there, basically. But if the goal is 12 wins in the regular season, making the college football playoff, and then making it to the national championship game, you know, those are some of the areas that you can still improve. And when I look at this Illinois defense, I think they have great cornerbacks. They have great safeties. They do not have a linebacker core. I guess it's a little like Michigan, where they're great in run support, but they don't really impress me a ton in coverage. And granted, very few teams in the country have like great linebackers in coverage, but even compared to other linebackers, I think there's a little bit of a drop off here. And what I've also noticed is that Illinois, not elite at stopping passes, I guess, over the middle of the field and between the numbers. You're thinking about the thirds of the field. So between the numbers, middle of the field, part of that is the linebackers. I think part of that is just the talent level of Illinois' defensive backfield. So for me, a big key is I think this has to be a game where tight ends and running backs get involved in the passing game. You know, Purdue and Michigan State the last 2 weeks beat Illinois, and really were the only teams that I've seen that have been able to consistently produce throwing the ball against the Fighting Illini. They're the only teams with multiple passing touchdowns on Illinois this season. Michigan State, 15 targets to tight ends and running backs against Illinois. Purdue the very next week, it was 13. So you're talking about two offenses, granted, probably more pass-happy offenses than Michigan's is, but they were able to find some success. And I think a big part of it was getting the tight ends involved, getting the running backs involved. Last week, due to injuries, Luke Schoonmaker was out. Colson Loveland was only targeted twice. Donovan Edwards missed all but like four or five snaps. So Blake Horn was only targeted once. So tight ends, running backs were not a part of Michigan's passing game last week. We do not have the injury report or the availability report right now, but even if guys aren't in the lineup or whatever, there's still enough talent, in my opinion, to incorporate that part of the game in Michigan's offense. That's something that, again, Michigan's receivers might be able to produce against Illinois no matter what. But based on what we've seen from Michigan's passing attack and what we've seen from Illinois' pass defense, I think that is, if you're trying to beat a great defense, you want to find the soft spots in either the coverage or in the defense. Just feels like that's an area that Michigan has the talent to be really effective. But I think I think the Wolverines have kind of gone away from that the past few weeks, whether it's play action, whether it's checkdowns, whether it's, you know, kind of just some of those routes over the middle of the field. I mean, that was a big strength for Michigan last season, Steve, is how often Cade McNamara, I don't think very many people would say Cade McNamara was the better thrower than JJ McCarthy from an arm strength perspective, but he was able to have some really efficient games by finding tight ends, finding running backs. I mean, Steve, I know you and I have not watched every Illinois game this season, but that does feel like if you told me Michigan's offense is clicking at every cylinder, feels like tight end running back involvement would have to be pretty high.
Yeah, is Luke Schoonmaker back? Donovan Edwards removal last week an injury or disciplinary? I mean, that whole thing is still kind of odd. Never really got any answer about that, you know. So there's two big, really kind of encompasses what you just talked about as far as like tight end and back, because those are kind of the two guys, you know, that would spearhead that. Although, you know, I really still think I can mention him again, but it feels like Colson Loveland is starting to come on as an all-around type player for Michigan right now. Like I've said before, middle of November, I don't really think you can call, like, freshmen who have played as much as some of these freshmen, like, they're not really freshmen anymore necessarily, you know. And you don't
have to give him every ounce of the playbook for him to run a drag route and make a play.
Yep. But I always read or check out MGO blogs or the upon further review, and he scored Colston Loveland outrageously high in the Nebraska game, both as a route runner and as a blocker. So gotta think. I mean, it coincides with an increasing role for him. So I can't, you know, that's another reason why I sort of buy into it. That being said, like, you know, a guy that Michigan can use in an increasingly large variety of ways or whatever. So yeah, I agree though that it is that mid-range passing game that opens a lot of other things up. You know, Eric All's already gone, you know, and Schoonmaker has not been 100% for a couple weeks. So absolutely. The middle of the field is it's just like running the football. Being able to run between the tackles opens up the stuff on the outside. And, you know, Michigan, Schoonmaker, I think, has been such an important player for Michigan and McCarthy specifically this year, because I thought he did an even better job than I even thought he would do as that safety valve, you know, that 8 to 12 yard a pop kind of guy, you know, who's doing enough to get open, has good enough hands to make the catch, and he's not a burner, but he can break a tackle and get, you know, at least get a few extra yards, you know, and potentially move the chains. So yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I think that tight end running back usage is kind of the key that unlocks the rest of the passing game up, along with the play action stuff. So potentially having those guys back would go a long way. Again, I'm predicting Michigan to win either, even if tight ends and running backs don't play a big role in the passing game on Saturday, but it just will bode better for them heading into next week to have that part of their offense clicking and have everybody on the same page.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is a little bit less will Michigan win or lose hinges on this key, and more this is the path of least resistance. I mean, if you're a football coach or player, I mean, football's a hard sport. You want to take advantage of every opportunity you get. And I think there's an opportunity there. Another area where I think there's an opportunity, Illinois, their run defense is very good. They have great, I really am impressed by their linebackers' ability to kind of, like Michigan, get to the line of scrimmage, you know, fill in some of the holes. And then their defensive tackles are probably as good of a defensive tackle duo as any in the country. Jerzan Newton and Keith Randolph Jr. It's really impressive. They're pretty good pass rushers too. So I think a key that I won't spend a ton of time talking about, but I think this is a game where JJ McCarthy rolling out of the pocket on purpose might actually be beneficial, because it just alleviates some of that interior pressure that I don't think a lot of teams Michigan has faced provide. I'm trying to think who the best pass rushing tackle they face this season is. So maybe a rollout here and there could actually help McCarthy get comfortable. I also think his arm strength and mobility makes rolling out a wise idea anyways. Feels like it could be something that really benefits Michigan's passing game overall. But then I also think in the run game, this is a game where Michigan is probably best equipped prioritizing runs to the outside. Last week, Purdue really had the best game running the ball, surprisingly, because I don't think you or I view Purdue as a run first offense or anything like that. But last week they ran for 142 yards on Illinois. 111 of them came on 18 carries outside the tackles. On 15 carries inside the tackles, they had just 31 yards. Now, different teams, different offensive lines might have different results. I think Michigan's going to be really tough to handle if they decide to run in between the tackles. But I think with how proficient Newton and Randolph are at stopping runs right at the line of scrimmage, I mean, they have a combined 23 tackles for loss this season. Mazi Smith, Chris Jenkins, who I think are having fantastic seasons, they only have 6 tackles for loss. So, I mean, you're talking about a very disruptive pair of defensive tackles. I think if Michigan wants to sustain drives, score consistently early on in the game, and then also throughout the first half to maybe build a little bit of comfort, I think this has to be a game where you run to the outside. I mean, whether it's sweep plays, pitch plays, maybe McCarthy breaks out for an outside run or two. Maybe we heard so much about A.J. Henning having a Deebo Samuel-type role. Maybe this is a game where he takes some of those carries. You know, C.J. Stokes is coming off the best game of his career. I would imagine most would say that. You know, maybe he's got some quickness too. I think Michigan loves to kind of set the tone, running up the middle, setting a physical tone. And I wouldn't necessarily say that they'd be doomed if they did that. I don't feel that way, at least. But I do think this is a game where some of those outside runs, I mean, Illinois, for as good as they are at stopping runs at the line of scrimmage, roughly 58% of the runs that they face get stopped within 2 yards of the line of scrimmage. But they also quietly, they're 60th in the country in runs of 20 yards or more surrendered. So, I mean, there are opportunities a couple every game where if a team has the speed and the athleticism and then the perimeter blocking too, I think that's a big strength of Michigan to make things happen outside the line of scrimmage, outside the trenches. There are opportunities for big plays downfield. So, Steve, in addition to what I just mentioned, I mean, thinking about this philosophically, what would your approach be running the ball in this game? I mean, is this a game knowing even if nobody gets hurt, every time you run up the middle, it's kind of like taking another rep in the weight room? I mean, it's just, you're going to be more sore. It's physical. It's tiring. Blake Corum's taken a lot of carries this season. I mean, what would your mindset be in this game running the ball? Some of it you're just going to have to decide in the game what you're going to do based on the score, the situation, or how different guys are performing. But from doing the armchair coaching a couple days ahead of the game, what would your approach be for Michigan running the ball, knowing that you've got a much bigger game next week, but also knowing that this is not necessarily going to be a game where Illinois has 13 interceptions. They have a lot of pass breakups. They statistically performed well in pass defense as well. I mean, what would your mindset be if you were Michigan in terms of running the ball and how you want to set the tone in this game?
I mean, I think at least initially you'd go about it the same way you would any other game, right? I mean,
make them stop you.
Yeah. It's their identity. I don't think there's any reason to maybe change the identity per se. It's just really about, I mean, what's Corum's got to be averaging somewhere around 26, 27 carries a game in conference play, right? I mean, do you really want that to be the blueprint again? You know, you would think not, but at least initially, I think Michigan will want to do what they've kind of done all year. You know, it's worked, and I got to assume, as well as they've played and as successfully as they've run the football, I got to think it's still an art to the extent where there are always legitimate things they feel like they could improve on or even tweak things on a week-to-week basis, you know, to force defenses or to force, you know, it for preparation for defenses to have to account for a lot of potential wrinkles and stuff. It does feel like Michigan still, even in the running game, is throwing in some new wrinkles just about every week. So, and it also feels like the offensive line is capable of executing said wrinkles. So if you have more variations or schemes or whatever that you can throw at Illinois on Saturday, I think you'd still want to if you're Michigan. It comes down to volume for Corum and potentially Edwards. Again, a lot of that just depends on what that situation was last week. Like I said, we never really got an answer. I know Alejandro said he saw him.
He was in pads the whole game on the sidelines.
Right, never left. But he was at like a presser this week during where they interviewing CJ Stokes. It was and I think Alejandro mentioned on the board he was there, and it didn't seem like there was anything wrong or off about him. So, you know, let's just assume he's fine and he plays on Saturday. I still think I think best case you still want to limit the volume for those guys. For freshness, but B, again, yeah, I mean, we're talking about a game that will decide the East, and if we're being frank, probably the Big Ten, and then subsequently a playoff spot. You keep them off you get them off the field as quickly as you can so that they don't get hurt, you know, and I know that's, people are probably like, yeah, no, duh. But, I mean, I think that should be the aim. I don't think you change your identity. But I think you do, to some extent, want to lessen the workload so that you can go to bed on Saturday night knowing that your best players, your most dangerous weapons offensively, and then this will go for the defense too, you know, that they're as about as ready and as healthy as they can be and as a player could be at this point in November and in the season.
I tend to agree. Let's knock out some of these offensive prop bets. They're, as always, provided by our good friend Neil, who's a VIP member of our message board via Azul97 over there. We do all 10 of them in a written story, but we try to knock out three on each side of the ball in this podcast. Let's go with the passing one. 22.5 passing attempts for J.J. McCarthy in this game. We just mentioned Michigan's identity is running the ball, and that has been effective. I mean, really every game, every defense, they've been able to produce to the tune of a lopsided victory. So I don't think Illinois is going to stop that, but I do think the Fighting Illini, I mean, all the numbers indicate, even against other solid rushing attacks, thinking about Minnesota, Wisconsin, they are capable of slowing the Wolverines down. So far in the past few weeks, I've been on a little bit of a roll with these prop bets, and I think a big part of it is I always take the unders on the passing stats. And really, 23 pass attempts in a game, Steve and I both expect Michigan to win by double digits, a game that the weather is going to be like a high of 33. I don't know if there's going to be snow, but even if there isn't snow, it's not an optimal game for Michigan to really sling the ball around. So I think unless this game is surprisingly close or something like that, I feel like J.J. McCarthy is going to throw for less than 23 pass attempts in this game. So I'm taking the under. Steve, how about you?
I'm sticking with I'm just going to keep hammering the over on these passing ones until it finally happens. Kind of like the Andrel Anthony breaking out. I'm going to will it through these predictions. So I'm going with the over. I just, like I said, it's no longer about needing to see Michigan, you know, whip the ball all over the field and, you know, dynamic passing game. We know what they are. They know what they are, but we still want to see an effective, more effective passing game for them. And I think 22.5, I think they're going to go over on that one.
All right, next one. Let's talk about the running back efficiency. 5.0 yards per carry for Michigan's running backs. I mean, Illinois, they are significantly better than anyone Michigan has faced this season at stopping the run, not just on a yards per game, but also yards per carry standpoint. And Blake Corum, I don't think he's averaged, you know, crazy high yards per carry lately. I mean, it seems, I think the Rutgers game, he ended up being high just because he had the 43-yard run or whatever. But I think, as weird as it sounds, I think I'm going to take the under on this one. I might change it when I really sit down and go through all the numbers. But off the bat, I could see this being more of a 4.5 yards per carry type game. Doesn't mean Michigan won't be successful or can't win. But I don't know if the efficiency is a given what Illinois' defense is and what Michigan's run game has been lately. How about you? 5.0 yards per carry from their running backs alone.
I'm going with the over. So Illinois, definitely good defense. I just kind of looking at their schedule, not good offenses that they've faced. You know, we say Ohio or Illinois best defense, especially rushing defense Michigan's faced. This will be far and away the best rushing attack that Illinois will face all season, this game, their final game, and whoever.
Yeah, but Minnesota's not too far off what Michigan is.
Maybe. I just, I'm not as bullish about, like, after looking at to see who they've played and stuff, is I'm bullish on their defense, just in the general sense. It's just a matter of, you know, I don't know. I just think Michigan runs the ball successfully. I'm going to go with the over on this one.
Minnesota is the number 14 rushing attack in the country. They had 142 yards against Illinois' rushing defense, but 66 of them came on one carry. So I guess that is one other thing, is the Fighting Illini have given up a few big rushing plays. Final one, philosophically, does Michigan run the ball on 13 of its first 20 offensive plays? The over-under is set at 12.5. I don't know what the number is. This is a tough one. I always like to like look at what history says or what the common trend is. This one's a hard one to track. I think I'm going to take the under. I think scripted drives, Michigan tends to be a little bit more pass happy. I don't know if the numbers back that up, but it's usually more like the slog of the game where they really start to run the ball until someone stops them. I think they end up throwing the ball at least 8 times in the first 20 plays. So I'm going to take the under on this 12.5. I think it'll be 11 or 12 rushing plays and the rest will be pass. What do you think? 12.5 run plays in its first 20 offensive plays.
Yeah, I misread. I wrote over in our, for the actual, like for the article, I'm going to go the under though. Also, I agree for the exact same reason. What Michigan seems to be doing is wearing teams out physically throughout the game. And then, kind of really relying on the rushing attack in the second half in a big way. So I don't think that they'll run. That'd be 13 runs, 7 passes to begin the game. I don't see it. I think Michigan does come out throwing the ball a little bit more. So I'll say under.
All right, we're going to hit a quick break. On the other side, we'll talk about the defensive keys as well as more prop bets and our final score predictions for this game. You're listening to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launcher online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
And we're back. Thanks for waiting. So, Steve, I do think Michigan's defense is going to have a nice time in this game. I'm not dismissive of Illinois' offense. I've seen plenty from Tommy DeVito. Isaiah Williams, I think, is someone who's maybe having an underrated season just because I think the passing game at Illinois is being overshadowed by the run game of Chase Brown. And Chase Brown obviously is very good himself. I wouldn't be surprised if he is a Doak Walker finalist. He might end up leading the country in rushing yards. I think his health will have a little bit to do with that. But regardless, he's having a phenomenal season. But to me, I mean, when I look at the keys for this, I mean, it really is. I think the actual like most dangerous part that Michigan's defense has to be aware of is just not letting Isaiah Williams run wild. He is first among Power 5 wide receivers in broken tackles this season. And broken tackles includes shedding a tackle, but also juking someone. Force missed tackles, I think, is the stat Pro Football Focus uses. And I believe he is second among Power 5 receivers in yards after the catch. So he is like the ultimate, like, take the screen, take the 5-yard pass, and then go make something happen with his legs. I mean, he was a former quarterback, was recruited, I believe, by Michigan as a wide receiver, but he played quarterback for a couple seasons at Illinois. When Bielema came in, he switched to wide receiver. Really elusive. I would almost venture to say that's a bigger key. Slowing him down or not letting him, I guess, get room to build up his speed. He doesn't need a ton of room. You know, let him catch the pass. That's not necessarily the big concern, but rather limit his yards after the catch, have someone in position to make a play on him as much as possible. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one thinking this, but I almost feel like that's a bigger threat to Michigan's defense than Chase Brown. And that's really just me. One, I think, I don't know Brown's full, his injury looked pretty painful against Purdue. I was in the press box, so I wasn't watching the entire thing or listening to what the broadcasters had to say. But even if he does return, I don't know that he'll be taking on 30 plus carries in this game. But also his efficiency had kind of started to decline. I think teams had kind of figured out his tendencies, what Illinois does when it runs the ball, and knowing what Michigan can do as a run defense, I'm not particularly concerned about Chase Brown. I guess he might have a productive game, but I don't think he'll, if Michigan finds itself in trouble, I don't think it will be because of Chase Brown. I think it'll be more because of what Isaiah Williams and Tommy DeVito were able to do. So to me, that's actually my biggest key. What's your biggest key for Michigan's defense in this game?
Yeah, I think you're spot on. Talk about a workload. I mean, Brown gets the ball probably more than
He has like 30 more carries than Corum does this season.
Yeah, I went and looked. Well, I had the Minnesota box score up from for the Ibrahim thing that we just talked about, and he carried the ball 41 times in that game. It's a lot. Yeah, their offense is predicated around him, but I totally agree. Illinois's got a really interesting mix of guys at receiver and tight end. I mean, Brian Hightower was a former four-star at IMG Academy that committed. I believe he signed with Miami, transferred over. Luke Ford, I'm sure some listeners might remember that name. Was a top 100 tight end, committed and signed with Georgia, but then he was the guy who had his then he transferred to Illinois and he had his immediate eligibility petition or whatever rejected. He was the one that had the sick family member. That's why he moved back. That was a big story back then. But another former top 100 type player. And then, yeah, Isaiah Williams, who was trying to be recruited as a quarterback. But, you know, even when he was being recruited, it was clear just much higher ceiling as either a receiver or a defensive back, to be honest. So, yeah, some intriguing pieces there for Illinois. So, yeah, DeVito has no shortage of talent to spread the ball around too, but yeah, I mean, again, we go back to Chris Jenkins, Mozzie Smith. Nobody's really been able to crack that code yet in the middle, you know. And then when you have like somebody like Michael Barrett playing the best football of their career, you know, Michigan's rush defense continues to look better and better. And yeah, I mean, if Brown's going to have any success, it's going to be over the long haul and with a lot of carries. I don't believe it's going to be a game where he averages a bunch of yards or per carry. Cause honestly, I mean, even just looking at some of the other box scores, that really hasn't been his thing. He's been an effective bell cow running back for Illinois. So yeah, I agree. Actually, I think them forcing Michigan's back seven to have to think a little bit would be the one way where maybe they could get some first downs going. You know, I don't believe a run first game plan is going to do Illinois a bunch of favors. I feel like that's, you know, that's why Michigan's run defense has been so valuable, because second 10, second 11, third and 8, third and 9 lets Michigan tee off, put pressure on, force some mistakes.
Yeah, I agree. Just a quick stat on Brown. He leads the country with 43 carries of 10 yards or more, but only 9 of them have gone for 20 yards or more. So really impressed with his season. No one gets to 1,400 rushing yards as like a fluke. I mean, you earn those yards, but I do think, especially in recent weeks, the way teams have I don't know if they figured something out or if they're just prioritizing defending him more, he's had a little less room and a little less effectiveness. So I think really if Illinois pulls off a quote-unquote surprise, it won't be because Brown ran for 150 yards. It'll be because Williams had 75, 80 yards. I also think it'll be a good test. I know I kind of said that last week about Trey Palmer. I feel like I've sprinkled that in there a couple times when I see a good receiver, but you know, Ohio State, they've got some very shifty, quick and athletic wide receivers. I don't think it's not really a novel concept by me or not really going out on a limb there with that, but last week, I thought Michigan did a great job containing Trey Palmer. I think I mentioned the stat in the last podcast, 12 receiving yards on 10 targets. That's a really good sign. Even if Nebraska was down to its second and then third string quarterback, that's a good sign. And I think Williams, kind of a different game plan because they really don't have him run the ball deep at all. So it's not quite the same as Ohio State, but in terms of wrapping up, in terms of open field tackling, pursuit, corralling a very explosive playmaking pass catcher, I think this will be something that we'll learn a little bit about Michigan's defensive backfield in this game. They're off to a great start. First 10 games, really not a lot to critique. This is just a continuation of that. Steve, anything else you really want to see from Michigan's defense this week? And I feel like they're going to have the better end of this side of the ball for sure. Like comfortably. Illinois, you know, I was even talking to our Illinois writers and they were kind of like, yeah, if Michigan gets this game into the 20s, it might be over. I mean, this is not it's an effective offense, but I mean, they beat Iowa 9-6. Minnesota, I think it was like a 24-10 type game. And really the last 2 weeks when they've lost, it really hasn't been, you know, punch for punch. It's been more a lot of defense, a couple drives here and there. So I'm not overly impressed with Illinois' offense right now. So is there anything you want to see from Michigan's defense that will either change or further your belief on what Michigan can do against Ohio State? I think for me, the big one is just the pass rush. Michigan's pass rush, falling off makes it sound like they've been bad, but it's really regressed from some of its early success over the past few weeks. And I think I just have a hard time believing Michigan's going to limit CJ Stroud unless they get significant pressure on him. His numbers fall off a cliff when he's under pressure, but Michigan last few weeks hasn't necessarily shown that they're going to be able to generate that kind of pressure. So I think this is a game where against a pretty good pass protecting offensive line, pretty experienced, pretty big, you know, not Nebraska's offensive line. This is a much better pass protecting group. I think it's important to see more pass rush, maybe even like more interior pass rush. I Mozzie Smith, I think, had a pretty good game last week, but I think that's what's going to help avoid maybe plays getting extended as much as they have been, is just getting a collective pass rush going. Anything you want to see in addition to slowing down Williams that you want to see from Michigan's defense in this game that will impact how you view next week's contest?
I just think push to continue to, and again, I think any coach in the country would say this, but try to force some turnovers. Say Michigan's only recovered 3 fumbles this year, which is near dead last in the country. And I know that's sort of a luck-induced statistic, but I don't believe they've forced a ton of fumbles either.
Actually. They have not, no.
Right?
You know, by the way, they are dead last in the country. They have 1 forced fumble all season.
Yeah, that's insane. You know, so, yeah, I mean, that, I guess, would probably be the other thing. You know, whether it's via the pass rush or jar a couple balls loose, you know, I think that'd be a positive sign, you know, for them. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, I just think it's sick to the script. I agree. I would say the pass rush, I feel like even within each game has just kind of fluctuated. Like there are drives where they seem to rush, like there are streaks almost where they seem to rush the passer well, and then it kind of goes away a little bit, then it comes back. So, you know, some more, even just more consistency in, again, with pass rush, you don't have to get the sack, but, you know, do enough to force the quarterback to throw it a half a second faster than he would, you know, because that'll exponentially increase the chance of forcing a turnover. So, you know, I really do think it comes down to, you know, just trying to at least create potential turnovers, some tipped balls off of because of the quarterback's rushing, just stuff like that. I think that those are the types of little things I feel like I'll be looking for on Saturday from Michigan defensively.
You know, fumbles are a little bit of a luck stat, but this particular matchup, I don't think that it's just luck. Illinois, they have 20 fumbles this season. They have not lost all 20 of them, but they've lost 11 of them, and that is tied for 4th most in the country with Akron, Miami, and Colorado, teams that are not very good. So, yeah, I think if I'm Michigan's defense, maybe I'm punching the ball a little bit. It just seems like ball security, and I haven't watched Illinois enough to know, like, was it a particularly rainy game that caused like 6 of these or something like that? But at the same time, I mean, if you fumble 20 times, the one that surprised me, I mean, 13 times when you're on rushing plays, that's decently high, but 7 times from Illinois' receivers, that really surprises me. I mean, that's almost where if I'm Steve Klingscale, I'm telling, you know, Rod Moore, RJ Moten, Mike Sanderstill, DJ Turner, all those guys, hey, maybe throw a punch in at the ball when you're going in for the tackle. I mean, because it seems like that might be something where you could shake the ball loose. And again, if Michigan forces 2 fumbles in this game, that could turn a 17 to 13 type game into a 30 to 7 type game. That can really produce pretty significant swings. All right, let's get into these prop bets. Let's go with the yards per carry first. 3.9 yards per carry from Illinois' running backs. That's a pretty good number. I think that was well selected, because I was ready to instinctively take the under, but 3.9 is not, it's not high. I think I'm still going to take the under, but I feel like it's going to be in that 3.5 to 4.5 range. But between not really knowing what Brown's availability or health is going to be, Reggie Love the third, his backup, really has not taken on. I mean, Brown has taken on six times as many carries as Love has this season. So that tells you a little bit about the drop off in ability, I suppose. So I'm going to take the under, just not really knowing everything about Brown. But then also, I mean, Chase Brown, his production has fallen off in terms of a yards per carry standpoint. So I'm taking the under. Steve, how about you?
I'm saying the under. I'm not falling for it.
Okay.
No. I don't know what that
means. I feel like under is falling for it, but
it was a little strong. No, I just, you know, I'm just going with Michigan's run defense here.
Yeah.
Like I said, that stat about with Brown, the 10-yard versus 20-yard. I mean, yeah, I just, what's the other thing that Michigan's done a really good job of this year is tackling.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't like, I would assume, and maybe you have the PFF stuff, but that Brown has probably broken a decent amount of tackles or has a decent amount of yards after contact. That would,
yeah,
that
he's
would,
up there.
He right. That has to be the only way that you would have a lot of 10 plus, but not a lot of 20 plus. So yeah, Michigan's tackling ability and just their stoutness in the middle. I'm going to go with the under.
All right. We got another completion percentage one. I haven't actually tracked how we've done in these all season, but 55.5% completion rate from Illinois quarterbacks. Tommy DeVito, really efficient throwing the ball this season from a completion percentage standpoint. It helps when he does a lot of short passes to Isaiah Williams, but I believe he's, if he's not the best in the country, he's among the best. 70.0 completion percentage this season. I think I'm going to take the over on 55.5. I don't think he'll be as effective throwing the ball as he has been in other games this season, but I do think Illinois' game, it's a little bit like what Michigan's was earlier in the season. A lot of high percentage throws, not super concerned about the 30-yarder downfield, more so about getting 5 to 10 yards here and there. I think I'm going to take the over on this one, which just sounds weird because I don't expect Illinois to be effective passing the ball. But a guy who's completed 70% of them this season, I feel like he can get to at least 55.5. What about you?
I said under. I think Michigan stifles Illinois offensively across the board. I'm not a big, you know, we did mention Isaiah Williams, Luke Ford, Brian Hightower, but either way, I think Michigan's defense comes ready. I think the one theme I've been kind of harping on the last few weeks is, you know, there's always that idea of like looking ahead, and Harbaugh's even mentioned Ohio State, but I think he's mentioned it for it to work sort of the way that it has, which is, I think Michigan is properly using it as fuel for their games, not an opportunity to look ahead. So I think they know they need to, this is a very general statement to just say under, but I just think Michigan is going to be clicking on all cylinders on Saturday. I would expect the under. I do think the pass rush improves. I think we see a better pass rush on Saturday, a more consistent one. And I think that will, definitely impact DeVito's ability.
Last one, 6.5 points allowed in the second half. And Steve, my answer actually kind of has to do with what you just said about Ohio State. I don't think Michigan is necessarily scout. Like, I don't think they're spending practice doing Ohio State scout team stuff necessarily. I think it's more, hey, you're having a great season, but so is Ohio State. I think it's more motivation, and I'm sure the coaches are doing some prep work, and I wouldn't be surprised if the players are sneaking in some extra drills here or there that are designed with Ohio State in mind. But I think it's more the mindset of you are building each week, trying to get better, because your season hinges on that Ohio State game. Because it really does. I mean, one of these teams, Michigan or Ohio State, is going to have the most empty 11-1 season that ends up in the Rose Bowl that you could possibly have.
That's for sure for you. You don't think that the loser still gets in some way?
Like, for the playoff scenario? I think it's possible.
Okay.
I do think you need TCU or Tennessee to lose, though.
I just think it just depends on how close this. Let me rephrase that. It should depend on how closely contested the game. If it's a repeat of like 06, where it's a 3-point, Michigan loses by 3.
And both teams look very good. I think that's
Tennessee should not pass either team, regardless of who wins, just because, you know, that's me.
I would not envy the people in the room for a Tennessee versus.
I get it, but
they've had some. They've looked pretty good too.
Again, then we're talking about a scenario where Michigan's resume would be, you know, granted Tennessee's only loss would be the number one team, but they were dominated throughout. Like that game was never even close. You know, it's the same reason Michigan should have been a rematch in 06. I know Florida beat Ohio State, but you can't tell me losing the number one team on the road by a field goal that could you literally have a better one loss resume, right. You know, honestly. So I don't know. Sorry. You mentioned that. I still think the loser is going to have, will there be a legit opportunity that it's not an empty Rose Bowl situation?
Let me rephrase it. If the team that loses goes to the Rose Bowl and is 11-1.
Okay. Well then, yeah.
Are they going to be the all time unhappiest Rose Bowl 11-1 participants in their school's history?
I mean, given that that loss will be to your bitter rival, then yeah, probably. Yeah, I think it'd be. It's like, so
well, and you wouldn't necessarily have like this season of like, I mean, it's just it speaks to the playoff or bust mindset, but it also speaks to both teams have really just, they've made it look very easy so far. So anyway, with all of that said, 6.5 points allowed in the second half. I'm taking the under on this one because I think Michigan they figured out how to balance that Ohio State motivation into their whole season. I think this is a very focused defense. I think it's the most focused defense Michigan has had under Jim Harbaugh. I didn't cover the team before then, so I can't speak to, you know, what it was like in the 90s or 2000s, but I feel like we see a lot fewer random big plays or random touchdown drives here and there. So I'm actually taking the under on 6.5 points allowed in the second half. And I guess the recent games are part of that. They've only given up 3 second half points in their last 5 games, which is just crazy. I mean, that's a defense that really knows how to stay focused for 60 minutes, knows how to wear teams down, and doesn't take plays or snaps or drives off. So I'm actually taking the under. Steve, how about you?
I said under at first, then I changed my mind. Just because I'm convinced that something will happen that will cause some people to just unnecessarily press the panic button heading into Columbus. So I'm picking Michigan to win, obviously. I'm picking them to win comfortably. I think maybe Illinois has like a good drive sometime in the third or fourth quarter, scores, and, you know, there's cracks in the second half defense.
Although last year there wasn't any panic. And the panic was more that Ohio State looked really darn good against Michigan State.
True.
Like last year, Michigan put up 59 points against Maryland. I think they won by 41 points.
That was one of their best performances of the year. That was a great performance in all three facets. So, when I say over, it could be a junk score late in the game too. I don't know. Going with a hunch on this one. So I'll say over. I think Illinois gets in the end zone at some point in the second half.
Okay. Final score prediction and any other thoughts you have about this matchup?
No, I think we've covered it pretty thoroughly. I'll say Michigan 34, Illinois 13.
Okay, I'm going a little bit more lower scoring. Maybe I've watched too much of the Illinois defense in preparation for this game. I'm going to say Michigan 28, Illinois 10. Feels like a game where Michigan's offense will at least be challenged. I don't know that it's going to be close the whole game or anything like that, but I do think Michigan is going to have to do something other than its bevy of runs up the middle to have success in this game, at least to have significant success. I do think they can be. I mean, in the end, Michigan has pretty lopsided wins over two of the three teams that have beaten Illinois, right? And in the end, the talent level is different. I think Michigan is a little bit more full speed, whereas Illinois is in kind of a year two trying to rebuild after some pretty bad recruiting classes, after losing a lot of talent. But I one thing I will add that we didn't mention, shout out to Tank Wright, former Michigan assistant, a guy who was considered for several assistant coaching jobs at Michigan. He was Ben Herbert's kind of assistant strength and conditioning coach. He's got Illinois getting built up right as their strength and conditioning coach. I mean, I think offensive line, defensive line, really especially have kind of been fast-tracked to being what Brett Bielema built at Wisconsin. And some of that's recruiting, but I think a lot of that happens from January to July in the strength and conditioning facilities. So a little bit of like a Michigan light building over there in Champaign. So it'll be an interesting game to see kind of how things look in the trenches. But ultimately, we both have Michigan winning comfortably. I've got it 28-10. For Steve Lorenz, I'm Zach Shaw. Be sure to check out all of our preview stories over at the MichiganInsider.com, Michigan.247sports.com. Got the scouting report, four keys and a pick. We'll have obviously our prop bets as well as some other storylines. Senior day too. I'll have a story after the game on probably one of the more impressive senior classes that you'll see. I mean, last year's was pretty good too, but I think this year's senior class, a lot of really compelling stories of perseverance, but also helping lead Michigan into this suddenly very bright future and present as well, but really changing the trajectory of the program. So it should be a fun senior day game. Be sure to read all of our stories. This has been the Wolverine 24/7 podcast. We'll see you after the game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.